"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
Here we go. Who's excited? Anybody? No.
Woohoo! No. There you go.
Hey, there's the mother for Mother's Day coming up. You excited?
Yes.
What are they doing for you?
We are going, my kids and I are going to go to a restaurant on the beach.
Oh, that's very nice. You have a son and
lunch.
A daughter, right?
I have a son and a daughter, yeah.
All right. Yeah. You're taking you out special or you're paying?
I don't know. We'll have to see. My husband usually goes, but he's going to take his mom out. So I'm going to hang out with my kids. I'm sure my kids will pay. They're pretty generous.
All right. So you're starting out in a pretty good mood because we're getting right into it here for you.
Actually, I didn't have coffee. I forgot to have coffee. So I'm kind of tired.
Are we talking about dead animals?
Well, we've been talking about this on and off for weeks. Remember the women that protested at the NBA playoff games? At least the Timberwolves have been eliminated, so that won't be happening anymore. But they were protesting the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yes, yes.
One woman glued her hands, another one chained herself to the backboard post. We have details on what's really going on behind all of this, Deborah Mark, and it's not nice. 37 million chickens and turkeys have lost their lives.
Oh, my God.
Across the country.
37 million?
That is the number we're getting from Bloomberg News.
That's what the virus killed.
That is unbelievable.
Well, I think it's a combination, John, of the virus and the culling.
Oh. Right?
That's what I got for the... See, it says, under guidance of the federal government, farms must destroy entire commercial flocks if just one bird tests positive for the virus to stop the spread. So that's what we're looking at.
Wow.
So imagine if many of the chickens and turkeys did not have bird flu.
You know, next time around, they're going to adopt that policy for COVID and people.
Oh, God. Sean.
Well, they will.
That's
you don't think Newsom would do that? I do.
That's.
Let's go back to these poor innocent animals, shall we?
All right.
Yeah, I mean, she had a lot of questions when we did those stories of the women protesting at the games about the bird flu and why they have to kill all the chickens and turkeys. And that's the reason. The feds are saying if you find one bird with the flu, and I don't know what they put, stick up the bird's beak or how they test them for the bird flu.
You have to kill them all.
You do because you have to make sure the virus doesn't spread. Apparently it spreads very rapidly.
Can I,
that has led to distressing scenes across rural America In Iowa, millions of animals in vast barns are... Oh, I can't
no,
read
that. No, don't.
Let me tell her.
No.
Let me tell her.
No, come on. Of course, someone steps up.
Millions.
All right, I step away from the mic.
Millions of animals in vast barns are suffocated in high temperatures or with poisonous foam.
Yeah, and you know, some if you're going to have to do something like this, you can't come up with a more humane way to euthanize these innocent, because I'm sure they're all innocent animals, or most of them are, even if they have the, I mean, they're still innocent.
How are you going to...
That's what she meant when she was yelling about roasting alive, that's
yes.
suffocating in high temperatures.
How do
right?
you efficiently God. Kill 37 million birds?
Well, I don't know exactly.
Walk around with little syringes and give
but
them
this is not
injections.
The way to do it. I mean, this is barbaric. This is
you can't inject
gross.
Them 37 million times separately.
I don't know. Well, that's not my problem, is it?
Well, what about, well, I mean, because when people get the carbon monoxide poisoning, isn't that kind of like, you know, in the garage that you just fall asleep, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Poisonous foam is a little weird.
And doesn't that sounds a little nasty, doesn't
yeah.
it?
They're probably thrashing around
oh,
the foam.
Oh, yeah, that's
to...
so sad.
Mm. Here, you want another one?
No.
No, please.
In Wisconsin, lines of dump trucks have taken days to collect masses of bird carcasses and pile them in unused fields.
Neighbors live with the stench of the decaying birds.
I was going to say, when it starts warming up, ooh.
Yeah.
That's going to be rough.
Here's how it works, I guess. Migrating wild birds sometimes swarm above farms and they leave their poo-poo and it gets tracked into the poultry houses. That's how the bird flu spreads to the chickens on the farms. That's how the virus probably contaminated egg operations in Iowa, which produce liquid and powdered eggs that go into restaurant omelets or boxed cake mixes.
Yeah, you could have a bird virus omelet.
Or you just don't eat, don't eat eggs.
That's why she doesn't eat eggs.
I only eat egg whites. Is it in the yolk? I'll have to ask the next time. Is there bird virus in the yolk or the whites? Or
yeah, ask for virus-free whites.
Virus-free whites.
Yeah.
Further north, onto the same migration paths, lie Minnesota's turkey farms. And here's where we get the Timberwolves, which supply everything from deli meats to submarine sandwiches to whole birds for the holidays. Prices are soaring to records.
Oh,
heading
man.
To the fastest pace of U.S. inflation. In
so this is going to be an expensive Thanksgiving, I guess, huh?
It could be. You're right, because I didn't know the turkeys are going down, too. Right.
Yeah.
That's true. Wholesale egg prices touched a record $2.90 a dozen in April. Whole turkeys touched an all-time high of $1.47 a pound.
So there must have been an outbreak among the migrating birds, because they migrate every year. Yeah. And we don't have bird flu out. I mean, they're pooping every year.
Yes. Yes.
So
and all it takes is one poop to drop on a farm, and then a couple of chickens track through it and bring it into the poultry house, and there goes the virus everywhere. So, you know, we had this in 2015, and, sorry, Deborah, they killed 50 million birds by the end of the season.
50 million.
See, if you guys didn't eat meat, then we
chickens
wouldn't have this
turkeys?
Problem. Yeah, we wouldn't have to
well,
do this
the chicken,
mass murdering.
The chicken and turkeys would never exist to begin with.
No, oh, maybe they would. People have them as pets.
Well, what are we getting? Not 37 million of them.
No
not likely. But they breed them, John, on purpose so they can have
right, exactly.
eggs. And,
these
and,
lives wouldn't exist if it wasn't for us to eat.
I'm sure that these animals would prefer not to be born than to be killed this way.
So they're trying to, boy, this is weird. They've beefed up security around the poultry houses, installing sound cannons to repel those wild birds who are dropping their poop, or even car washes so that farm trucks won't bring in contamination from one farm to another.
Yeah, I don't think you could stop
you think
poisonous
this is like
bird
wearing
poop.
A mask and socially
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but this must have come from the CDC. Yeah. Hey, we have a list of ineffective methods to stop disease.
Some farmers completely change their clothing and shoes before entering barns, making sure all supplies and tools are clean. They're doing it, but you're right. Weather and migration patterns are making it easier for the virus to win this year. Rare spring snowstorms are originating in the Midwest and traveling up to the East Coast, and the cold, wet weather keeps the virus alive for longer, helping it spread.
That's right.
And maybe. Apparently the flu this year is more lethal than in the past.
Maybe they should put little tiny masks on all the chicken and turkeys.
I thought about that, but then how are they going to eat? Then they'd starve to death.
So what percentage is this of the total U.S. egg-laying hens? About 10%. There's 300 million birds. That's about as many people, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a chicken in every pot.
But chickens raised for meat so far have been affected. These are the egg-laying chickens that have been affected by this.
Yeah, so the price of eggs will probably go way up, too.
I think they're
just one thing after another.
Yeah, Iowa's been hit the worst. One farm destroyed its giant flock of 5.3 million hens starting in late March.
But this is why you can't have people pooping all over the city.
The technique they used was the ventilation shutdown. It involves closing up barns so the temperatures rise and the animals suffocate over hours.
See, that's over hours. That's so cruel. Ooh,
turkeys are killed by spraying a firefighting foam that suffocates them. Like the foam you see probably at airports. You know, when a plane lands and they're afraid it's going to...
They run out there to turn right.
Right, they foam down the runway.
They foam it down.
In case there's a spark. Oh. So they're foamed to death.
As we mentioned last week, one person involved in culling infected birds in Colorado did contract the avian flu.
Oh.
But the risk remains low of spreading it to other humans.
Did they have to foam?
Did they tell us that about COVID in Wuhan?
Did they have to foam that guy?
They don't think they foamed
him. That's what they ought to start doing.
Flus that spread from animals to humans are a concern because in rare instances, you can get a pandemic, which is possibly how we got COVID.
We can get a bird flu pandemic in people?
Yes, I guess you could, but I don't think it's as...
Then maybe we have to foam that guy.
Wasn't there some sort of avian flu in Asia years ago? Remember that? It didn't really affect us.
Yeah, there probably was. I don't know.
There's
been so many
for about a month.
There's been so many scare stories that I just kind of lost track.
Yeah, it's going to take them a year to recover from this setback of 37 million chickens and turkeys.
Wow.
So, yeah, we know the vegan doesn't touch any dairy foods either.
I do not.
All right. But she's sad.
I'm very sad.
A sad day. Yeah.
It is a sad day. Yeah.
All right. It'll all be uphill from here. I mean, downhill from here. We'll make sure the rest of the stories are...
Can we find a sadder story?
She asked all these questions, and I saw the story, and I thought of her. So,
thank you for that lovely update.
That should brighten your day, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Now you know exactly how
they...
Well,
the thing we didn't know is that there's one case that's supposed to cull the entire flock. It's terrible, but... That's the way it is. All right, more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
We, of course, have the Moist Line in 3 hours during the 5 o'clock hour. We have a hack to put into the dumpster. It's another long overdue person, and there's several reasons why the committee voted to put this hack in a dumpster. So it's all coming up. We're going to have a chance after 3 o'clock to talk to a comedian who was at the Dave Chappelle show, and he has a story to tell about the security there at the Hollywood Bowl, especially concerning this aspiring rapper who attacked Dave Chappelle, the rapper that's being charged with a few misdemeanors. Did you hear that wiener? Mike Fuhrer said, there has to be some type of punishment.
I might spank him myself.
Trying to use this opportunity to get some limelight because he's running for mayor. It's the only time reporters are paying any attention to him because he's involved in the prosecution now. Since Gascon passed on it as a felony, it goes to the city attorney.
It's
for
a felony. It's absolutely a felony. Gascon is really on a suicide mission.
Now, we have more on Gascon coming up after 2:30. Two more big stories that you have to hear. John's contribution to the show today is a column by John Tierney. Now, we were just talking about the bird flu, so we can swing over to COVID. Although there's two things I can't, I try to avoid. One, of course, is the nonsense about the subvariants and the transmissions, and it's still going on. And, but the one I also saw is, and these stories are starting to grow. They're popping up day by day in a few more media articles. It's people who are immunocompromised lamenting now that with everybody else not wearing masks, they're at risk.
Oh, yes.
Why don't we care about them?
No, you wear the mask.
Yeah, but that's only one way. It's called one-way masking.
Right.
It might not work.
Well, then then maybe you can't leave. Hasn't this always been a problem though? Isn't this always a problem every flu season? I mean, colds are constantly in the air. I don't understand this. See, that's the whole victimhood mentality that's taken root in everybody's mind. Is like you've got some issue in your life, and everybody else is now responsible. It's like no, let's go back.
Well, you could kill them.
But it's always been that way, and you have to take your own protections.
I think we have to argue, particularly like with the Delta variant, that it was taking out more immunocompromised people than your annual flu. I have to say that's probably
right.
True.
But still, you have to take care of yourself.
Hmm. This column basically is about how we should learn the right lessons from our response to COVID. And as you might expect, not big on the mask mandates, school closures, even the social distancing. All of this may have been just completely far over the top than we needed.
And it had no effect. It just didn't work. They're comparing the states and they're comparing the countries, and looser states and looser countries had about the same incidences in terms of cases and deaths as ones with severe lockdowns.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, we've had our test. We had the laboratory test. And it turns out that all that facial masking really was just theater.
He said CDC leaders terrified the public with worst-case scenarios based on computer models. Remember, we covered all that in 2020. And then used those blatantly unrealistic projections to claim unprecedented powers and experiment with untested strategies.
I remember this, and we were talking about this as it was happening.
University of Washington, remember that?
That place should be just should be shuttered.
Yeah,
yeah, and turned into I don't know, clown school. Those scientists, those experts in the University of Washington, really are a bunch of bozos. They really are. All the stuff they released was wrong. It was wrong and wrong and wrong again, because I tracked them. I tracked them for months. Every time they issued more guidance, more expectations, more computer modeling, I am telling you, I swear to God, they were wrong, and they were wrong by a lot. And if you remember, very early on, to justify the lockdown, Newsom said, we are going to have 24 million cases in the next 8 weeks. Remember that? And that was justifying the lockdowns. His emergency order. Okay, that was wrong by about a billion miles. And these people have to be held accountable, and they should be forced from their jobs. They cause a lot of damage to people's lives. They're not experts. Their methods are stupid. Their models don't work. It's hocus-pocus witchcraft.
Randomized clinical trials conducted before the pandemic repeatedly had shown that masks did little or no good at preventing viral spread, which I found odd, only because when we were talking about this 2 years ago, this was the Asian model, because they had dealt with these kinds of flu outbreaks, and they were all masking, and I thought the conclusion was that was helpful. I didn't say it stopped the virus completely, but I had read, I didn't read studies, but I had read reports that it seemed to be effective.
Well, he writes that federal officials stubbornly ignored the hundreds of studies around the world showing that, except in a few isolated places, lockdowns did not reduce COVID mortality, mask mandates were generally ineffective, and senselessly harmful in classrooms.
Yeah.
And instead of heeding all evidence of their mistakes, officials did their best to suppress it and silence dissenters. And that's what was going on, is, remember, you couldn't publicly question it. If you went on television, you would be hounded and scolded. The social media companies blocked you. They threw you off the platforms.
I remember what we all did, because it's about the only thing we could look at back when this started in 2020, was to look at the Spanish flu. Remember, from 100 years earlier? And I remember seeing these charts. And yeah, it was the El Segundo Times that people did not socially distance at the beginning. That's why it spread so much, and there was so much death at the beginnings of the Spanish flu. Now, things were different then, because that was killing younger people, because their immune systems overreacted. Remember that? That was kind of what happened with that particular flu transmission. Whereas here, it was the elderly and the people with all sorts of underlying conditions that were killed.
Which they knew right away. An irrational society, you'd protect the elderly and protect the people who are physically compromised in some way, and then you let everybody else live. That's what you would do in a rational society. Instead, by shutting everything down, they threw, you know, tens of thousands of businesses out of business. I mean, look, the supply chain is still like backed up and broken. Our economy is messed up with crazy inflation. It was unnecessary. The repercussions are going to last for years. God, what they did to the kids. And the kids had the least chance of being harmed by this virus. By far. There's been very, very few deaths. And very, very few cases, statistically. And you took away a year and a half. I mean, they could not have botched this more badly. And people realize this as time goes on. Although, you know something? And what's John Tierney writes about this? It's like when people invest in something, it's, I guess we as a group don't want to admit we're wrong. And he says, you see this phenomenon when college students are involved in painful initiation rituals to get into a fraternity, for example. After they survive it, they think, well, I guess that was worth it. You know, that made me tougher. It made me stronger. No, it didn't. But you have to justify the stupid thing you allowed these other people to do. It's called, social psychologists call it effort justification. Once people endure the pain, they convince themselves it must have been worthwhile, even though their reward is actually worthless. And that is a psychological phenomenon. It's some kind of coping mechanism, I guess.
All right. When we come back, it's not like a day goes by. We have over the George Gascon story to tell you about an outrage in the criminal justice system. Coming up next.
John and Ken Show, KFI.
All right. Coming up after 3 o'clock, we're going to have a man who said that he tried to alert security that Dave Chappelle's alleged attacker had snuck into the VIP area, but the security guard said, dismissed him. Coming up after 3 o'clock, his name is Taran Von Gosry. He'll be joining us. He talked to TMZ, and he's going to come on our show and give you his firsthand account of what was going on behind the scenes when that crazy aspiring rapper ran on stage and tackled Dave Chappelle, the rapper that will not be charged with any felonies.
The aspiring rapper.
I know. People like there was hope.
The
like
aspiring
there was hope.
Rapper. Okay.
Yeah. I tell you one thing, I keep seeing these stories pop up. Dave Chappelle is just, he throws the N-word around pretty loosely, doesn't he? I'll just put it that way. That's all.
Oh, he doesn't care about anything.
I guess he doesn't.
He says whatever he wants.
I know, and it's funny because a couple of people that went to his show and really like him, you know who was there? The New York City mayor went. Did you know that?
I'd heard that, yeah.
All right.
Because he doesn't spend much time working. He goes out all the time at night.
Oh, is that right?
He goes to...
Oh, they're already down on Adams?
Yeah, the restaurants, bars, clubs. He's a social guy.
He apparently got his flight delayed coming back to New York, and the New York media made a big deal of that, and then I guess they dug deeper and found out he had come out here, among other things, for the Dave Chappelle show.
Yeah. No, they're having savage murders left and right in New York City, and he said he was going to stop it, and obviously you can't stop it quickly, not with all the wacky laws and procedures. No bail they have in New York City. But, you know, it's not a good look that you're yucking it up at a Dave Chappelle concert and people are getting murdered in the streets.
They're allowed to have some off time. You can't make a big deal about that all the time.
No,
Trump was always golfing.
No, they're not allowed to have off time. When the world has gone to
hell.
Well,
you didn't complain when Trump was golfing all the time during COVID and everything.
Well, it was better if he was at a golf course.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that is a good way to look at it.
Some guys, it's better off.
We have another George Gascon story, and actually, we weren't aware of this one, although it goes back to when Gascon first took office as the Los Angeles County DA. We tried to get John and Tommy on, but he wasn't available today. He was the prosecutor on a case of a woman who murdered her 4-year-old daughter. This happened in August of 2020. Tortured and murdered. Another one of these stories. Her name is Akira Kishel Smith, a 36-year-old, charged with murder, assault on a child, and torture in the death of her daughter, Eternity Smith. That was the child's name. Here's where the story went foul for John Hatami, and this tells you all you need to know about Gascon. This woman had two previous felony strikes. She was convicted of inflicting corporal injury to a spouse in 2014, and then assault with a deadly weapon in another case in September 2016.
Now,
so under our three strikes laws, these went down as two strikes. That means you can get a bigger sentence out of this.
Right. And these are violent acts. Right?
Unquestionable.
These are felonies. These are violence. I guess she beat up her husband.
Yeah, we don't have details on, you know, and I hate it when you have to use the legal terminology.
Well,
convicted of inflicting corporal injury.
Right. Well, corporal injury is bodily injury.
Yeah.
And a spouse is a spouse. And then assault with a deadly weapon. All right. That's self-explanatory. So
what Gascon said, basically, and the directive was to Tommy, you're not going to charge her with those two strikes. You're not going to use them in this prosecution for the murder.
Because Gascon
did not want Akira Smith getting a 25-year minimum sentence.
Remember, 15 years is allegedly all he thinks anybody should get.
Even if you've tortured and murdered your little daughter, and it's your third strike.
That's who we're talking about.
Gascon doesn't think you should get 25 years.
So he was directed, Hatami was directed to try to remove her two previous strikes. He didn't want to do that. All right, so 3 days later, Gascon called Hatami unfit and delusional, said, I'm going to discipline you. The reason this is coming out now is Hatami is able to release the documents associated with the case because eventually we had a little sanity and a judge overruled Gascon and said, we're going to go with the strikes.
Here's the evidence they had. Eternity, the girl who was killed, the oldest brother in the family, said his mother was kicking and slapping his sister throughout the day, as well as choking her and kicking her while she was on the floor. A little four-year-old girl.
Four-year-old girl.
My mom told me to get her some food. She didn't want any of it.
Yeah. And that basically, she'd rather just starve herself to death and continue to live with this crazy, cruel woman. So about 2 months after Hatami said Gascon tried to get Smith's prior strikes removed, an L.A. County Superior Court judge, James Chalfant, ordered Gascon to comply with the three strikes law. So at least in this case, we had somebody that overruled Gascon, and in this case is still going through the system, so we don't know how many years she's going to get yet.
Well, because what he's doing is illegal. And you have a judge stepping in on a district attorney who wants to give a light sentence to a child killer, to somebody who killed her own child. And this is one of Gascon's first directives.
Yeah.
I mean, he had just taken over in December of 2020 because he just got elected in November of 2020.
The first day he took office, he put out the directives.
Right. So this is one
of
his...
And he hates the three strikes law. He tries to assault that whatever way he can.
But the little girl against a woman who's already beaten up,
victims,
I guess, other family members?
To Gascon.
But
because
he's
dead and gone. He wants to just do something with the criminals,
but there's just,
which he considers them to come from victimized backgrounds.
This is
usually his approach.
But it's sick. It's really sick. He's mentally ill. He's mentally unfit. He calls Hatami mentally unfit. No, this guy Gascon has got a serious, I don't know if he suffered a brain injury or what.
He's decided that nobody should serve long sentences.
Well, that's not the law.
Remember, he wants to go back and resentence people to get them out of
prison. That's not the law. The law is what the legislature stipulated the sentences would be. He could think and feel all he wants. He could be Mr. Wacko Activist in the street and wave signs and chant rhymes and all that garbage. Go ahead. But when you're a district attorney, you're elected to enforce the law. Period. He represents the people of the state of California. You know how when you hear cases, it's like, you know, Shampoo versus the state of California, right? He is the state of California, meaning representing all the people. The people voted for the representatives who mandated what the sentences are.
Right.
It doesn't say, except when George Gascon thinks he can override the sentence. No, that's not in the law. That's not in the three strikes law. That's just crazy.
Yeah, apparently the judge said that the DA's disregard of the three strikes plead and prove requirement is unlawful, as is requiring deputy DAs to seek dismissal of pending sentencing enhancements without lawful basis. And that's what he put in the injunction to make sure that the strikes still got attached to this woman's case. All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
All right, we'll be talking to a comedian who was there at the Dave Chappelle show the other night at the Hollywood Bowl. He has a story to tell about security and the man that has been charged with attacking Dave Chappelle, and what this comedian saw happening backstage gives us a little more of a clue. The El Segundo Times actually provided more depth that they got from the report on the assault to tell us a bit more about that weapon, where it was, and everything else. So we'll get to that right after the news at 3 o'clock. Well, if you have $63.5 million is quite a piece of property that you might be able to buy on the west side. This is in the Holmby Hills area of Los Angeles. It is a French chateau-style mansion, complete with 11 bedrooms, 27 bathrooms. Why would you need, if you have 11 bedrooms, why would you need 27? It's more than two per bedroom.
I guess
a lot of parties?
These are ego bags. Just so they could tell people they've got the 27 bathrooms.
I wouldn't want 27 bathrooms because that it's just a lot of cleaning and it's just not needed.
You don't need the 11 bedrooms either. It's just to show off.
That's kind of cool, though, if you could invite like 10 friends over. And...
Nah, they probably don't, though.
No, it's...
you know, it's
a lot
just...
of times people this wealthy don't even stay at the home. They just buy it and they go there once or twice a year.
It fulfills their ego. It makes their penis feel a little larger.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not in the ad for the house, but sure.
Yeah, but the guy who buys it...
Well, let's talk about the guy who has this house or did have this house. It's 33,652 square feet, among the largest homes on the market in Southern California. But federal prosecutors announced this week that they want to seize the property. They believe it has come from the corruption of a powerful Armenian politician and his children. And it's by his children, these were his adult sons.
It's quite a story. I'm not surprised it's a foreigner, because a lot of these gigantic, oversized...
And they're kind of garish.
Yeah, a lot of times this
You look at the photos of this place, it does look like, I wouldn't say the White House, but it's something weird, like the construction of it is really over the top. Good windows, though. I like all the windows. Anyway, so that's what we're talking about here. It was purchased in the year 2011 for $14.4 million. And I'm like, $63 million, but we'll get to it. Apparently, he tore down the old property and built this newer.
I'm sure the old property was a dump. It's probably like a barn.
No, it was not, actually. We'll get to that in a moment. So apparently, the man we're talking about used to be Armenia's Minister of Finance. His name is Gagik. Gagik.
Minister of Finance? Well, where'd he get his money from then?
A little corruption, a little bribery. You know, when you're the Minister of Finance.
When you're Minister of Finance, those kind of bureaucratic jobs don't pay that
government
well.
Government contracts, there's what else? Taxes.
And he goes to Los Angeles to spend the money?
It's a bit of money laundering, I would assume.
Yeah.
Get it out of the country. He and his two sons, and they're facing criminal charges in Armenia, accused of providing more than $20 million in bribes. The Holmley Hills property went on the market April 7th with a real estate agency that says it's got immaculate architecture, manicured landscaping, and your chance to completely customize the interior. That's the part I didn't mention. The interiors have not yet been finished. What he did was just build the home and the grounds.
How much do they think he looted Armenia for? that's a lot of money, even for some bureaucrat embezzling.
I know. So some businessmen in Armenia wanted favorable tax treatment. His name is Sedrak Arustamayan. I think I'm pretty good on that. Arustamayan. He entered into two fake loan agreements with this finance minister's adult sons. The first loan in 2009 was for $7 million, and another one in 2011 for $13.5 million. So you're beginning to see the money, John? Both loans bore agreements specifying when payment was due in terms of interest, but according to court filings, Arustamayan never received any interest or principal payments on either supposed loan.
So he loaned the sons the money?
But he didn't. He just, under the guise of a loan, he gave them $20 million.
I see.
Pretending it was a loan. Because he wanted favorable tax treatment from the father.
I get it.
Yeah, that's the deal.
And
they made it look like a legit loan, but instead that's how he bribed them. Right.
Oh.
So one loan for $7 million, another loan for $13 million, but they're not loans. They were just fake loans.
Wow, that is a big bribe. $20 million?
$20 million.
That's a fat bribe.
Who knows how much he would have owed in taxes in Armenia that this guy helped him get, I would imagine, a lot more than $20 million, right? Otherwise, he wouldn't have put up that much money.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It basically was a gift of $20 million in order to get a break on the taxes. So how much of a tax break did he get? How much in taxes was this guy have to pay?
How much is he going to save, you think?
Yeah.
So to make use of the purported loans, because they're fake, this guy and his sons formed multiple entities to receive, disguise, and conceal the illegal bribe payments, as well as their purchase of the property, which we said was another way to launder the money. More than $13 million was wired by this businessman, Arustamayan, directly to a bank account. But days before the sales closed, he affirmed he would not hold title, relinquished any claim to the money. So you see, kind of left it there for the sons, I guess, to buy this property. Because it says, soon after buying the home, which was previously owned by a Lionsgate Entertainment executive by the name of John Feltheimer, they tore down the property and they hired a fancy architect who has built big estates for stars like Mark Wahlberg and Tom Brady and Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, that Humby Hills neighborhood is where the Playboy Mansion
was. Down the street, apparently.
Yeah, right. And remember Aaron Spelling, the Hollywood producer? He had like a $100 million house years ago until he died.
All right. So the Armenian businessman's son told the design team, we want our children to attend school in L.A. We want the home as our family's residence. An elaborate compound, including rooms for the businessman father and the two sons and the daughter are all going to be living there, servants' quarters. So construction began in 2015, but they never did the interior. They just did a lot with the exterior, along with the gardens. There's a pool and a spa. And then in 2016, well, the Armenian businessman left office and the bribery scheme came to light. They discovered millions and millions of dollars in unpaid taxes owed by this guy I told you about, Sudamayan's companies.
Right. Yeah. The guy who paid the bribe.
The guy who paid the bribe.
Well, so, if he's got a bunch of companies, then yeah, his tax bill could have been.
Yeah, so they've all been charged. the sons have fled Armenia, though.
they'll probably never be caught. I mean, they've got millions of dollars they can live off of, and who knows what the extradition agreements are with Armenia.
Now, here's the thing you didn't ask, well, because I kind of wondered. It says here you can still buy the property. The federal government is willing to work out an agreement, obviously.
Yeah, but they would
get the proceeds because this is they're basically in their papers saying that this house was acquired through.
But it's $63 million, you said?
Yeah, that's the asking. $63.5 million is the asking price.
That's a little tough.
Maybe you can negotiate it down. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to a comedian who says he was there at the Dave Chappelle show at the Hollywood Bowl, and he believes he saw the Dave Chappelle attacker and tried to do something about it. Coming up next.
John and Ken show and Deborah Marquez, the news, KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.